The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. So how many of you read the email that told you to bring your Bible to church? Wow, you guys are good email readers. I'm really impressed. For those of you who didn't get the email, there is a little black book in your pew called the Bible. You can pull it out, and I want everybody to open up to John 10. Now, John is a gospel, so that means it's in the back quarter of your Bible, and it's after Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then I want you to find John 10. What we read today was verses 11 through 18, but I wanted to back up, and the only way to back up and look at this with you is for you to have your Bibles with you. So if you don't, I'm sure you all have one at home that you can use later. So it's Good Shepherd Sunday, and people will argue over whether this is a parable or a figure of speech or a metaphor, and I want to go with the metaphor, because it's a metaphor that we see throughout the rest of Scripture. We see pastures and sheep used in Ezekiel, in Numbers, in 1 Kings. It's a figure of speech that's used in the other Gospels, especially Matthew and Mark. And today I want to talk about the Good Shepherd as relationship. So I want you to keep that in mind. And verses 1 through 6, which we didn't hear today, are the setup, asking the question, with whom do we want to be in relationship? Very truly, starting at verse 1, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they'll run because they do not know the voice of the stranger." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they, that would be the disciples and the apostles and everyone who was listening, they did not understand what he was saying to them. How often is that us? We don't always understand what is being told to us, maybe in real life, but definitely in Scripture. So we look at these verses, and we have on the one hand thieves and bandits. This is going to come up again, so hold on to the thieves and the bandits. We have thieves and bandits on one hand, and we have the good shepherd on the other. It's set up, who is it we want to follow? The thieves and the bandits who come at night, always suspicious if somebody comes at night. And thieves and bandits who only care for themselves, they don't care about the flock, they don't care about the owner, they don't care about anyone other than getting what they want and they need. But the shepherd comes in the day, when you can see him and know him. The shepherd comes through the gate, and we'll talk about the gate in a moment, and the sheep follow the shepherd because they know him, and he knows them. Who is it that you want to be in relationship with? Verse 7. Now, how many of you have a different translation? So when I'm reading, you're like, that's not what my Bible says. Excellent, because there's going to be a pop question for one of you guys in a second. Pop quiz. So again, verse 7, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep." I am the gate. And the I am phrases are called the egoimi or the egoimi phrases. And you're going to see Jesus does this again and again. I am. I am. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life. This is who Jesus is defining himself to be. So verses 1 through 7, really 1 through 6 are the setup, and 7 is this transition. And 8 through 18 tells us, who is Jesus? Who is this man who has been going around Galilee teaching and healing? What is his purpose for all of creation? And so in verse 8, all who came before me are thieves and bandits. I told you they were coming back. Thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. Remember, the thieves and the bandits, not to be trusted, but the shepherd builds the relationship and has that trust with the sheep. And Jesus says again, I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. I am the gate. Now, what do we know in the Bible if something's repeated? Anyone? It means it's important. If it's repeated, in short, it's important, so you better pay attention. So I am the gate. The gate is God. The gate is salvation. The gate means finding pasture and being fed. That's what the shepherd has to offer us. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and will go out and will find pasture. But here come the thieves again. But the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And by the way, kill is actually a specific word. It really means slaughter, as in not caring, as in like an animal. The thief does not care, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. You see, with the thief and the bandits, and in a minute, the hired hands, it is a very limited scope. But with God, with Jesus, there is no limit to the good. When we are in relationship with Jesus, we have life and we have it abundantly through the Good Shepherd. Jesus goes on, as we heard today, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Lays down his life. Remember, this is before crucifixion. This is before resurrection. And Jesus is already putting in the foundational groundwork for what is going to happen. No wonder they did not understand. And he says, I lay down my life for the sheep. And the hired hand, who is like the thief and the bandit, the hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. Now, here's my question. Does anybody have the translation that says the hired hand cares nothing for the sheep? Yes, that's the better translation. It's not that he doesn't care about them. He cares nothing for them, for their well-being, for the flock, for the community. I am the good shepherd. What does repetition mean? Important. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. It continues to develop who Jesus is, who Jesus calls us to understand him to be, that he is the good shepherd. And his connection with God the Father is foundational in our understanding who Jesus is. And he goes on and says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now here's where it gets really good. Are you ready? I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Now, I think it's always really easy for us to say the other is the Muslims or the Hindus or the whoever, but I want us to not go into these big, broad terms of the others who all need to come to Jesus, because I don't think that's what Jesus was saying. I think Jesus wants to know what is going on in our very sheepfold, in our very community. Who is the other? Who is not always welcome in? And to know that they are a child of God as much as you and I are. Is the other the undocumented immigrant, or the cast out family member, or the person who you don't agree with how they live their life or their politics? Who is that other? And Jesus says, they are as much a part of the fold as you and I are. Hard, tough words to live by, but that is what Jesus calls us to. And he goes on and says, for this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. God the Father understands Jesus' purpose on earth, his decision to die and to take his life up again. And our reading ends today. No one takes it, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again, and I have received this command from my Father. This is the shepherd who we are in relationship. This is the shepherd who laid down our life for us, and this is the shepherd who calls us to follow in that same path. Now, I'm here to tell you, few of us, I think there may be one or two, have actually spent a lot of time around livestock, much less shepherding. And it's not easy work, which is why I think it's a really good metaphor for relationships, because relationships aren't easy work either, are they? No, at the 8 o'clock I had all the couples nudging each other. It's like, wow, okay, well. But relationships take time. Being a shepherd takes time for your flock to get to know you and to trust you. Being in relationship is the same thing. It takes time and care and attention and presence. And they're demanding in their own way, just as the shepherd calls us to follow. We often call Jesus the shepherd of Christendom, and rightly so. He is the light who we follow, the path who we hope to emulate. And often in our ordinations, priests are called shepherds of the flock. But I think that that sells short everybody who's in the pew, because I actually think what our reading teaches us today, that each and every one of us is a shepherd. because we are responsible for one another in our community. And as Jesus says, not just those here, but those that are outside. We, following the Good Shepherd, are called to lay down our life to things that present as thieves and bandits and hired hands. We are to lay down those things that distract us from our relationship with God and our relationship with Jesus and our relationship with the Holy Spirit that call us to be shepherds with one another. You see, following God and being a shepherd is foundational and formational in not only how we interact with one another in our parish, but it's how we interact with our families, with our friends, with our co-workers, with our classmates. We have today this rich reading of the Good Shepherd, and I want all of you who brought your Bibles to go home and read this week. Read it throughout the week. Pick it back up and listen to what it says to you. And if you didn't bring your Bible, go home and find it. It's in your top drawer, probably of your nightstand, and it's dusty. Can't tell you how many times I've seen this. But find it and read it and pray about how you are being called to follow the Good Shepherd and to be a shepherd with those in your life. Amen.